I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wake up in the morning feeling like
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
Hello, tryhards. Happy hump day.
Indeed, we're recording this a little bit late because it's been a very busy few weeks, isn't it?
Just it has. And also, you're not going to get a pod next week because we'll both be in Dubai at the Sevens, so you need to make this one last. So we thought we'd give it to you a little bit later.
That, and also I've been really tired from all the traveling.
Are you going to take your advent calendar to Dubai?
I currently don't have one. Don't remember the last time I had one, actually. Okay. Do you have a certain type of one, or are you one of these people? Does your mum make you a... I'll ask you a question in a minute. I'm just going to keep starting questions and not finish them. Do you have one with presents or chocolates?
Chocolates, because you get presents on Christmas Day.
But have you seen recently that over the last few years, people are doing advent calendars with presents?
My mum would not buy into that. My mum's a big believer in children, of which I am still a child, should get something they want, something they need, something to wear, something to read. So an additional 24 presents in the run-up to the big day would not be happening with Karen Jones. Though I will say, because I have like a wooden advent calendar that she fills up, and the other year I thought I'd like hit the jackpot and I had giant foil covered chocolates, but they were bath bombs.
I was going to say, I reckon your mum could easily do the 24 presents because they love a middle aisle in Lidl's, so you could just literally
Aldi. They don't go to Lidl, they go to Aldi. Lidl's too far away from them. It's in Splott, which is about 3 miles away, so that's way too far. Have you seen they're doing a Cuthbert caterpillar plush in the middle aisle, in the Aldi middle aisle, like a cuddly toy? I might get it because it would match. It's about an eighth of the size, but it would match Koya's caterpillar. So I might get one. It's not as long as her. Well, Koya's isn't a caterpillar, is it? It's a snake. It's a caterpillar, but you tell her it's a snake, but it is 100% a caterpillar.
I'm pleased I've got my earphones in so she can't hear you, actually. Be a bit disappointed.
She'd have
ruining her favourite toy.
Run to get the snake.
Anyway, I won't be taking an advent calendar to Dubai. Hopefully I get one this year. We'll see. The presents ones. I've seen all sorts of things online. I've seen like ale ones. I've seen chocolate ones. I've seen like makeup ones. There's all sorts of ones. Like nail polish.
The Marks & Spencer's beauty one I've had in the past, which is fantastic, but it's sold out very quickly this year. There's a Lego one, which I quite fancy, because obviously I play with a lot of Lego, but it's just one of those things where I saw it and I was like, I quite like that. But it's like 50 quid.
It's amazing, isn't it? The money that people end up spending, but it's kind of an excuse to spend lots of money and then not realize you've spent it because you've forgotten about it. I've done that with Christmas presents. So I've already bought a couple of Christmas presents because I was in a little craft fair up with Cornstar Pete up in Dennis. But not from his shop, from somewhere else.
I was going to say, you know what I'm getting? What's that buzzing? That's not my phone vibrating. Okay.
Anyway, wait, you know, I had a very stern phone call from my dad. My parents, as people mine may or may not know, aren't together. So we have two separate Christmases. This year we're gonna have the first one in Minehead and the second one up in Bristol, we think. And the first one in Minehead, we have been told very sternly on the phone, no Christmas presents. Okay, like no Christmas presents, we will fine. And then I got a message on our other WhatsApp group saying, so no Christmas presents, ? And I said, no, that's at Dad's. And then it was like, no, this is with Mum as well. I'm like, okay. So
have you mentally prepared yourself as the youngest child that when everyone says no Christmas presents, what they mean is Ava Waterman's going to get a lot of Christmas presents and Nolly Waterman's not going to get any?
Well, this was the point. I was like, Lucy, Ava's mum, did say, obviously I know you guys will want to buy presents for Squidge, Ava. Yeah. And to my point was, well, yes, she, like, that's not even questionable.
She is,
like,
the star of this family now.
Yeah. But moving the pod on from Christmas, because I feel like we may do more Christmassy themed podcasts and presents.
Oh yeah, I'm going to save it for the week after next, but I'm elevating my sandwich to new levels, but I'm saving it for the week after next, so remind me.
I literally can't wait.
I shared a preview on my Instagram story, but it's okay.
I, as people know that listened last week, I went down to Southampton, or near Southampton, Limpton, I think that was the place, and spent a few days down with my family, mainly with Ava, because I just kept stealing her. Yeah. She's pretty solid little baby now, so I don't feel like I'm going to break her, which is great. Took her in a swimming pool. She was absolutely epic. Probably the only one with chubbier legs than me, which was good. So
always makes you feel a bit better.
Yeah, which... yeah, when you've got really small women in your family, it's never nice to be the big one. Like I
know. Now is your turn.
Yeah, and even Mum, rubbed it in a little bit actually. But hey, slightly upset with Sue around that, but probably deserve it. Anyway, that was really good. However, it was cut short because I thought I'd been really organised when I'd left my flat. I was like, right, I'm not going to be coming back. I'm going to be doing all this. I've got to fly. So, right, organised. And didn't think about the fact that I'd taken a grey coat to Ireland for the middle trip. And in the pocket, I'd left my passport because I took my maroon jacket for the third weekend. So I realised as I pulled up, that I hadn't got it. So it was like, oh, I can't go back. It's over nearly 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
So that's a bit painful. I then get back and realize that not just my passport, but also my driving license was in my pocket from the hire car, and also my AirPods. So on the back of thinking I was the most organized, the three things that probably I do need on me were there. So it cut the trip short a little bit, which was rather frustrating, but I did have a lovely
time. It says a lot about the kind of person that you are, though, if you leave a passport, because I would do like, I'm the kind of, I'll do like 8 passport checks before I even walk out the front door, and then I'll get in the car and I'll do like another 3 before I even pull away. I am petrified of forgetting my passport.
Considering the amount of traveling I do, you'd probably think that I would be a little bit more I'm pretty relaxed about
it. I learned my lesson on the sevens. So when I used to do the 7 series, I use these things called packing cubes. So you basically, like, it makes your case more organized, and you put like
IKEA.
No, they're from Amazon, and you put like all of your t-shirts in one cube, all of your shorts in another, all of your underwear in another, and then it all like slots into your suitcase like Tetris. Ideal. Except when you've slotted them all in like Tetris, sealed your case up, left your flat early in the morning when it's pitch black, got to the other side, I think we were in Canada, unzipped your case to realize that the packing cube with all of your underwear in is on the floor in your living room. That problematic.
Yeah, there's not many. I mean, pants you could buy, bras, probably not many women on the series with the same size top half as you.
No, no. So yeah, unfortunate. Should we talk about some rugby as opposed to breasts and gifts from craft fairs?
Yeah, we can. I mean, there's a couple of games to cover from the weekend.
There was a couple of games. I think we should kick off with Wales, Canada on Sunday, purely because, not because of the game. Commiserations to Wales, who lost, put up a good first half, finished their autumn series 2-3, which I'm sure they would have snapped people's hands off 4-6 months ago. But the headline...
Snapped their hands off?
Yeah. People say that.
That would hurt.
Is it? I'm sticking by it. The headline was, of course, post-match. I was on the other side of the stadium. I was in the opposite stand. So, first of all, I could hear loads of cheers because Flo Williams got her cap on Sunday, which...
Congratulations, really Flo. Flo.
Yeah, massive congrats to Flo. She looked really good when she came on as well. And then the Arms Park went absolutely wild. And if you've been on social media subsequently, you will see that Hannah Jones's boyfriend, Dino Dalavalli, who I think he plays for Champ Club. I'm not sure who. Can't remember who. But yeah, he walked onto the pitch and proposed to her after the game. How romantic.
Right. What I want to know is behind the scenes goss. Did the person interviewing her on TV know that he was going to do it?
So the person, because it wasn't on TV, it was the WRU interview, which was conducted by Liz Jones. And I reckon Liz would have been privy. So if you watch the video in the background, there's a man leading him up behind Hannah, and that's Alex Luff from the WRU. So I think that Liz Jones and Alex Luff were probably co-conspirators to this.
Oh,
yeah.
What a lovely moment. Although I would have reacted exactly the same as Hannah when she was like turned around and basically mid interview was like, "What you doing here?
What are you doing on the pitch?" She was fuming, wasn't she? But yeah, huge congratulations to them. I loved that Liz said to her, "Are you going to end up with 30 plus bridesmaids?" And she said, "Yeah, it looks like it." And then in the press conference afterwards, Shuey just said that she cannot wait for the hen do. So yeah, love that. Love that a lot. Also, Sunday was Red Roses against USA, which was a word that you hear a lot in rugby, but I always enjoy. England marmalized the Americans on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had a chance to have a watch of it back, but I watched the highlights, which I mean, there were quite a few tries in terms of the run throughs. It's good to see Abby Dow on amazing form. Some of the detail, just in terms of, you know, she's an incredible athlete, looks fit, looks strong, was smashing people over. But just something that I really appreciate in terms of her, how she plays, is her ball transfer and the speed that she's moving the ball from hand to hand to fend. And, you know, I know that sounds a bit geeky and noisy rugby wise, but those are the things that make you good to great. And I think it's been great to see her playing so well. She has been the on-form player this season, you know, so far. So yeah, it was awesome to see her. Obviously Lydia Thompson got her 50th cap, and she is a Worcester baby. She's from Berkeley, like she's from the Midlands, but it's where she's played all of her rugby. It's where I had the privilege of playing alongside her at club, and just one of the nicest human beings going. And for her to get her 50th there and start, which
yeah,
potentially she could, maybe would have been rotated out, but you know, just to be on the bench because of the experience that she's got and stuff, that was really cool. And Alex Matthews presented her with a shirt afterwards and was really, really sweet. So yeah, so I also think it was the first time, I think Lydia acknowledged it, and some other players, it's the first time that it's been at Worcester for over a decade. I actually played in that game. We played France. It was one of the worst games of rugby I've ever played in. And it was the only one. I was going to say, it's one of the only ones on Sky Sports.
Yeah, I worked in that game. I was really, really hungover. I can remember.
It was really embarrassing because we'd been playing some really good rugby and then it all just went to pot. At both teams were just rubbish. I got the ball and just threw it into touch at one point. I was like, oh dear. Obviously it was like it was a pass to somebody, but somebody wasn't there.
Somebody wasn't there.
We also ran a rangy option. So for those that know that play, it's 10, 12 up and drift across, 13 cuts back, and 15, you run like a reasonably straight line. And the idea is that you split the centre, you either split the 10, 12, or you split the centres, but you isolate because,
yeah.
And
Johnny Sexton's special, that one.
He does more rap stuff, but this one, I came straight through the middle. And normally I'm quite good at reading the gap, but I didn't read the gap. And the girl that was playing 12, for France, she absolutely marmalized me. There's not many times I've run plays where it's the type of move that if you get it wrong, you get it wrong. And I remember being absolutely snapped, and I think it was only one of the few times. So yeah, good times. But anyway,
one thing that stuck out for me were Simon Middleton's comments post-match, where he said it's now time for the rest of the world to catch up with England. I find that quite interesting from the head coach of the most resourced team in women's rugby, not to take away from what the England girls have done, but there's been a lot of talk as well around the legacy that these women are creating. And I know you would... It's a weird one. To me, your generation created a legacy in winning a World Cup and being the first ones to get contracts across the line. And these are the ones who benefit from the legacy. So how have you read that? And what have your thoughts been on it?
I've read a couple of comments and interviews and stuff. And I think, you know, the way that the girls are playing, they're moving the game forward, you know, the detail around set piece and some of the athleticism is unbelievable. But you'd expect that, you know, they've a couple of years now into professional contracts. So physically they're going to be reaping the rewards. I think it wasn't even my generation, you know, the legacy of women's rugby started from the women that started the women's game in England. And that is Carol Isherwood, Jill Burns, Nikki Ponswood was part of that. Giselle May, you know, all of the players that just said, you know what, we're going to make a women's team and it's going to be a GB team. And then, you know what, we're going to make an England team. We're going to have a World Cup. And I suppose I was always really fortunate that I had access to those people, because there were certain players that were still involved or playing when I started and got first cap back in 1833. And I think, I suppose I know the history of all the women's game. What people are, well, maybe when they're making those comments, they don't necessarily know the starting point. Yeah. And what was really good, I was at Twickenham on Saturday, and was sat next to Dave Ward and Abby Ward. And I was chatting to Abby about the fact that, because next to her was Karen Andrew, as we know her, when she played fly half for England. And next to her was Helen Clayton, who we call Robbie. And anyway, I said, do you know Rob? And do you know them? And she didn't know Wench, but she knew Rob. She said, oh, well, Robbie came in as part of an older Red Roses group last week. So I know I met her then. And so she said, Abby said, as the current squad, they need to know the history of the game. They don't know it because they've come in and all they know is these professional contracts, all they know. And how much they totally embraced being with the earlier generation players and how much they loved hearing from it. So I think if the players don't know, how on earth can the public know? You know, so I think that needs to happen more. In terms of the legacy of the Red Roses, I think it started with the attitude of the players in the 90s, but probably the coach that turned it around in terms of how they trained and how they approach the game and the professionalism in attitude was Jeff Richards, who was around in the early 2000s. He gave me my first cap, but he was the scariest Australian man I've ever met. He's actually not, he's really lovely. But his attitude was, if you're not early, you're late, and the expectations. And so those women and what I was introduced to, irrelevant of whether they were professional and got paid, they were professional attitude. And that to me is where the legacy of the women's of the Red Roses started, because it was, if you are not the best athlete, if you are not the best player you can possibly be, you don't deserve to be in this room and this squad. And if you're not doing that, there'll be someone that wants it and will be doing it. I think where we've benefited and where comments like Mids has made, we also have the it's not just about the union's money. It's not just about the programs that the girls have on offer. It's not just about the contracts. It's about the depth of numbers.
Yeah.
And so we have such greater depth of volume of players that making selection is hard for him because there is so many talented players there because the pool is so deep.
Yeah.
I think that, but that has come from the fact that, you know, we had wonderful role models to aspire to be. If that makes, do you know what I mean? And so everyone.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we move on to the men's games over the weekend, there's something I kind of want to pick up on there and actually links to some news today around the World Game and the eligibility criteria and the fact that players will be able to more easily swap back to a union if they have got a link to it. And it just made me think, you know, you said about the depth in the women's game, especially in the UK, this could be more impactful than the men's game, because there are a number of girls who will have been capped at 20s level for England who then wouldn't have gone on for a senior cap, or even, you know, have had a handful of caps for England. And then, I mean, the one that sprung to mind for me was Caris Williams, who, if she's not selected by England by next summer, she'd be qualified, she'd be able to re-qualify and play for Wales by the World Cup. So there's going to be a number of girls who possibly will be able to go on to have more international honours.
Yeah, I think it's amazing for the women's game. I think too many players, I've always kind of said that if you shouldn't be capped at 20s, 100% to a nation, but because the women's game hasn't had a strong and consistent A's team or national academy, that there are loads of players that are linked, like are hooked into England, and then, you know, they haven't got close to a senior cap. So I think it's absolutely brilliant. And it means that you've got really good players that aren't just sitting and playing in Premiership. They've actually got the ability to have the aspirations to go onto international colours. And, you know, I actually thought about it today. I qualify for Wales.
I mean, I'm not saying that we want you, but it's an interesting thought.
I actually also qualify for Canada, but very few people know that. My nan was born in Canada.
Well, having watched them on Sunday, I'm not sure they need you either, my friend. I'm not sure you'd keep up.
I did actually. I don't think I've said to you before. I think I've joked about this with Ghislaine Landry. But I don't know if this was on the pod or off the pod that we've talked about the fact that I asked her, could I secretly train with Canada Sevens and then just appear in their squad. I mean, this was when I was a little bit fitter. I don't think any team would want me anywhere close unless it was in the coaching setup nowadays. But hey, you never know.
Never say never.
Exactly. Okay, actually, can I just say one thing that I actually thought, right? So loads of people are talking about how players that have played for stronger unions will go back to the ones that don't have the depth.
Yeah.
However, I wonder if there will be any players that have gone to a country and played for them and then but actually qualify for like someone else.
Yeah.
And go up, go back, but in inverted commas, go up. So the number 8 for Italy, men's, Bristolian, but with an Italian name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
what's his name? No, he's just sprung to mind.
Yeah, because the pod, or Stephen Varney, the scrum half, is Welsh.
Yeah, so like, so it's fascinating to see, you know, players that have made a decision early on in their career. I don't think I'm going to play for, you know, England, Scotland. I like gone and played for a different nation. Yeah. And then actually now would can potentially, they've shown their colours, they've shown how good they are, and now potentially get the opportunity. That, I think that would be interesting. And whether, could you imagine it in the women's game happening with England or the Black Ferns?
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Okay, you were in Dublin on the weekend for the Ireland-Argentina game. We'll work backwards from Sunday. What was the atmosphere like in Dublin after the week before?
It's really hard. I think it's never going to really compete with a win against the All Blacks. Yeah. You know what I mean? That crescendoed into like the, one of the best games. Well, we thought was going to be one of the best games of the awesome. One of the best performances probably, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think it was always going to be hard, but the, you know, fundamentally Argentina were very poor. And so it was really hard. In the first half, it was really stop-starty and the game was really staccato. So it meant that the support was, and there wasn't any flow. Second half, there was more tries. So the team started to get, the crowd really started to get behind certain players, especially when they came on the pitch, you know, which was interesting. It's interesting to see, because you could hear like the likability of players.
Yeah.
Like when certain players scored, they like went wild for it. So when like Joey Carberry made a line break and the crowd like woo, like lifted.
Yeah.
It was like they were desperate for him to do well. But yeah, I mean, there was a really rubbish moment. So Lavanini, who plays in the second row for Argentina, he was the one that got red card in the World Cup against England, with taking someone's head off. At a breakdown, just literally flew in from the side. Kean Healy was on his knees, like retreating from the breakdown.
Yeah.
Because he was getting up. He's an old chap, isn't he? So he's taking his time. Obviously got really big quads.
Old chap, he's the same age as me.
And yeah, just real cheap shot to the face. And with a shoulder, got red carded. And it was just unnecessary. He's the most red carded player now in the game.
It's always nice to have like an accolade though, isn't it?
Oh, but what an idiot. And he just, it was interesting because had a good chat in the commentary box with Miles Harrison and Donica, and we talked about like why would you do something like that. And actually the nature of rugby is a very dangerous sport if you want it to be, like, you know, it has the potential to be really dangerous, but the reason why it's so good is there's this like there is the laws, but there's also this unwritten ruling that you don't tip it over, like there is a, you know, that like the whole intent thing,
you know. It's interesting, yeah, Donica there in the commentary box, normally you know, you have Jamie Heasop there with you a lot, and Jamie will talk about how those moments that are that go beyond, you know, Jamie's back is as bad as it is because of what happened at the Aviva in an Ireland France game, and a player just taking things too far, and, you know, not a similar incident in terms of the actual motion of what happened, but somebody flying in late and essentially breaking Jamie's back, you know, unnecessarily.
Know not that
anything like that is necessary, but unnecessarily. Also, the number 8 for Italy is called Pelletri.
That's the one.
I've been trying to remember. I've been going through the alphabet. Not that I haven't been listening to you, but I've also been going through the alphabet.
I wondered why you did sound a little bit like uninterested in the questions. But in fact, nice fact about Pelletri, my dad played against his dad because he's a Bristol bloke and my dad was Bath. And so, yeah, played against his dad.
Of course, there you go. Would have done. That is interesting. Okay, Saturday night. I talked it up. I said it was going to be the game of the autumn, and oh, how good was France versus the All Blacks?
You know, I'm going to let you into a secret. I've actually waited, and I'm going to watch the full game tomorrow like a complete geek, because I know the score, obviously. I know the result, obviously. And I've seen like a couple of clips of the NSMAC just like escape room style. Yeah. Get out.
But you know what? You'll still enjoy it, because it was like, it was a genuinely entertaining rugby match.
Well, I can say, I was texting Miles on Saturday after being at Twickenham, and I was like, can we catch up about the teams? Obviously, normally we'd speak the day before, but because I was working, catching up at breakfast, and I said, you know, hope you got over there safely. And he was like, yes, and I'm watching the most incredible game. And I was like, oh, like, I'm really sad. I hate kind of half watching whilst you're traveling. It really annoys me. So I was like, oh, like, I need to catch up on it. And he was like, and Miles said, bearing in mind that man, I reckon, has watched the most amount, I reckon he's up there with one of the people that's watched the most amount of rugby games ever in the world.
Easily.
He said it was the best game he's ever watched.
Yeah, it was amazing. I watched it on the big screen at the back of the Arms Park with my friend Michael Press, who, if you have...
Oh, Pressy.
You've met Press.
Presser?
Goal Light Tech.
Pressy Press.
You met Press in Hong Kong. If you have gone out and bought Jamie Roberts' book, Press is the person in the paddle tennis story with the Prince of Monaco. So there you go. Now you know. I did Wales, Australia on Saturday.
How was it?
It was like something out of Vegas. There were so many cards. I've seen a couple of things today saying that Wales won't be able to depend on the TMO to keep winning games, but then if other teams' discipline isn't good and Wales's is, then Wales's is, that's hard to say, then it is what it is.
Can I just say, though, on that?
Go on.
Cards and behaviour and pressure, cards and ill discipline come from pressure. And I genuinely think Wales is one of those teams that just don't bugger off. Like, they're just, like, just in defence, in, like, they're kind of just annoyingly relentless. So you're like, go away, stop chasing back. Like, so, you know, when you make a break in sevens and someone always chases back, you're like, really? Like, I really have to sprint this? And I feel like the way they are, they're tough men, they get stuck in, they're real quite tight unit, you know. And actually, the way that they manage to nitpick into teams, in a way, forces you. And it actually is a team that plays against the Welsh. That's one of the things, it's probably the most common thing said in a team meeting before. You have to match them emotionally. You have to get up for it. And so you imagine you're being told they're more passionate than you than you are about your country. That's basically what you're being told.
Yeah.
So you could, so actually when you think about it, what does that do to your emotional level, your like where you're at, your control? Well, it causes pressure, and then if you get under pressure and you're like getting frustrated, and you've been told, well, they're the most passionate people ever about rugby, so you've got to be really passionate. Well, what happens? You give away penalties, you give away consistent penalties, you go in and fly in and take someone out, you go into a breakdown wrong, and you get carded. So I don't know, like, I can see why it is against Wales.
Yeah.
And it's not luck all the time. I'm not saying it's lucky to get a card, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's very unlucky, quite frankly. And then on Saturday, you were also at Twickenham for England, South Africa, which again was very exciting, the end of that. Freddie Stewart looks like absolute dynamite. I really like him.
One thing I didn't know about Freddie Stewart, he plays the electric guitar, and there's a really good bit of content with him and Joe Marchant strumming away. Lovely tune, actually.
Really?
I hate his moustache. He's one of those people
it's November.
I get it, but just he doesn't suit it, and it's really quite awkward.
Okay, well, I'll go and look for that video of him strumming. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. Sia Khaleesi yellow carded at the end of that one. It was the last 10 minutes of that game were genuine thriller. Loved that. What was the vibe like at Twickenham? Looked fun.
So, yeah, look, I was in hosting some hospitality. All of the quite important people, so the RFU Council pre-match, and then got a very posh seat and was in the Royal Box. And it was cool because I was with loads of ex Red Roses. Well, they're not ex, they are Red Roses. And Streety was there, Smithy was there, Jeff Rich was there. Like, it was kind of like, and also other captains and stuff.
Anyway, yeah.
So it was really cool. I got to see a few of them. And then I was doing some hospitality after the match, but it was on the other side of the stadium. So I decided with like 25 minutes to go, that was my chance to leave the stadium and get to hospitality before the mad rush and then be able to watch it. And I happened to, so I wasn't in my seat in that last 10 minutes, but I was in the stadium, which is a bit weird.
So
as much as I did experience it, I kind of didn't experience it live, but it didn't ruin it because it was just such a wonderful end. And I predicted at 10 minutes to go, Marcus Smith will step up and will score the winning penalty. I was like, it's going to happen. I feel like this is going to happen.
Written in the stars. Based on the performances that you have seen this autumn, who wins the Six Nations?
I think in terms of their all-round game, it would be France. I think possibly the next closest in terms of all-round game would be Ireland. I think it would be Ireland-France is the biggest game. Is it Ireland-France or France-Ireland? I think it's France-Ireland. And I only know with England games because it's the Blues away. That's all I know.
Wales have got the Blues at home.
I think for the men's, I think that's... But, you know, Ireland were just different level in terms of their set piece. Their forwards are just, like, mad good at the moment. Furlong, the only... Like, what I love about Ty Furlong, and then you've got... is like his handling, his running, how hard he tries. You've literally got a carbon copy of him in Sarah Byrne. They are literally the same player.
I will take that. I will take that. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap you up there because to conclude this pod and conclude the autumn, we should reflect on the mighty match pint. Danielle Waterman, last week I spoke with great pride about how well you'd done. I had big hopes for you going into the last round. And then you forgot to put your predictions in for three of the games.
You know what? I actually sat with Dave Ward and I don't even know why. He said something about something about previous results or who have you got for tonight as well. And then I was like, oh my God, how many games have there been? There's been three games already. And then quickly put in them. A little bit frustrating because I was going to call England. I would have called.
Could have, should have, would have, my friend. In the Guinness Legends League, you finished seventh above Andy Goode and Johnny Beattie. I finished a respectable third alongside Tom Shanklin. Happy birthday, Tom Shanklin. And the Tryhards League, I finished overall 12th and you finished 30th. But a huge congratulations to Hannah Holborn, who with 279 points is the overall winner of Match Pint Autumn Nations Series 2021. Two perfect predictions. She would have had enough points to win the Legends League herself, and the Match Pint overall global, she was, I think, she's top five on that, wasn't she? She was joint fourth.
Yeah, she's joint fourth. Massive shout out to Hannah. And also, so I'm presuming she gets some stash, doesn't she? She gets some stuff sent to her.
Another thing
I was gonna say,
yeah,
Christian Cox, who won the global league, got four perfect predictions.
Unbelievable.
That's actually mad. I reckon though that the fact that last time we had the winner from the Tryhards League and then we've got Hannah in top five, we're producing some unbelievable results.
We are.
I reckon it must be your
my coaching.
Your top tips. Yeah.
It has to be. Well, on that note, on that bombshell, as we said, there'll be no pod next week, but we will, I'm going to make Nolly sign into the Tryhards Instagram if she isn't already, and maybe we'll post stories on there over next week when we are in the sand pit. We won't technically be together, but we will try and sniff each other out.
I mean, I'm trying to think what odor you give off for me to recognize you, but I'll find one. I'm sure deep down I will
I'll be able to smell your skin burning in the sun, my ginger friend.
So. Bye, everyone. Happy
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.